Well, good evening, Harvest family. I'm right on in. We'll have a word of prayer here in just a moment and get started in our midweek service. We're so glad you're here tonight and looking forward to God's goodness. Boy, it got really warm these last few days, hasn't it? It's been wonderful, wonderful. And I know we've got some cooler weather coming around the corner before it gets warm again, but I hope that cooler weather doesn't last long and it gets warm like this again. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was like this today, like it is today, for the next 365 days? Well, we can pray. We can pray. All right. Ain't that the truth? Well, let's all stand together and we'll look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Sam, why don't you come and how's your voice feeling tonight? You get ready to open us in prayer? Well, if not, we'll. All right, you open us in prayer.
I got it. Amen. Got my own. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be called your children. Lord, we pray that you'll work in our hearts this evening as we hear the message preached. Lord, prepare our hearts as we sing. Lord, just pray that we'll enjoy the fellowship together and that we'll feel blessed as we leave here this evening. Even as I think we have a business meeting tonight, Lord, that you'll bless that as well. We ask these things and thank you on all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Prayer tonight. We just want to thank you and praise you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. And Father, just a joy and of service and fellowship. We thank you for the good report for Brother Thornton, for the 105 plus campers that are there and the one that trusted Christ. We pray that they might see many more. That would just be the beginning of other young men and young ladies giving their life to Christ. I pray that you be with those that are there. Give them safety, Father, courage and strength them during this time. Father, be with the Files family, Lord. What a good report to hear from them tonight. And that memory, Lord, of preaching for the first time, Lord, in the language that God has called them to, Father. I pray that you continue to help him with the language and the culture. And, Lord, help his heart to adapt a language that's foreign to him, Father, but yet a heart that will be able to adapt and use it to be more effective in their ministry to the Thai people. Bless their family, encourage them, strengthen them, and meet their needs. Father, be with Brother Steve and Miss Pam will be preparing to hit the road here in a few weeks. Lord, that you'd give them traveling mercies and safety. Pray that you'd help them. They'd see additional support raised and they would be able to get in additional churches. You'd comfort them and keep them safe while they travel, Father. And Lord, help them to be where they need to be on time, Father, without any problems on the road. And then, Father, that you'd use them, Lord, to stir the hearts of the people, Lord, the churches that will be in concerning missions. And then now, Father, as we switch over and kind of switch gears tonight into a time of study and servant leaders, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us learn and glean for the scriptures as we continue with our series. Father, we love you. And again, we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll turn our Bibles tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, we'll just read two verses of scripture as we read last week, and then we'll look at a couple others as we go. Hopefully I didn't prepare enough, but not too much, because also we have a financial report here a little bit later tonight before we go home. 1 Samuel chapter number 13, as we continue with David, a man after God's own heart. You know, I think it's really important. I think we're missing so many aspects and ideas of being what it means to be a servant leader. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But I think so many people, we got a whole lot of chiefs and nobody wants to be Indians. You know, a lot of people want to lead. A lot of people want to be in the front. A lot of people want to take the credit. But God needs some people that are willing to serve without any recognition whatsoever. Just get the job done. And so listen, the Bible tells us here in verse 13 and 14 of 1 Samuel 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, and because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Well, how important that is. I believe that's a good verse that we can apply today to be very careful within our churches, pastor, me, any pastor across the world, making sure that their motive of what they're doing is right in the time of the transition, the time that they're leading, the time that they're shepherding, and making sure they're not overstaying. And again, I'm still getting an email list every week, and now that list is still anywhere from 80 to 120 of like-minded churches like ours, Baptist churches, that are looking for a pastor. and some of them are variable situations and why they need one. But there's a great need there. Last week, we looked at the first quality that God saw in David, and it was spirituality. Today, we'll go two, and hopefully we'll get three through tonight, too. But the second quality God saw in David was humility. Oh, how we need more Christians with an aspect and idea of being spiritually minded, but also practicing humility. A couple chapters over in chapter 16 and verse 1, the Lord said unto Samuel, of course, Samuel had to give the news to Saul, but the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among the sons. Boy, as I read that story over and over, I think about the aspect and the idea of went through Dad's mind when the prophet arrived. Went through the prophet's mind when he saw the men came out. And then at the end of the day, what happened at the very end, they were all shocked at what took place. You see, the Lord had been in the home of Jesse, we could say, in spirit form. They didn't know that God was there, but God was on a mission. He had surveyed their home and found Jesse's youngest son to be a true servant. And there is the key. See, what does God see as he surveys your home and in your life? What does God see when he surveys us as a church family? Does he see that one of humility and the heart toward God? God saw a heart that was completely his in the house of Jesse. David was a boy who faithfully obeyed. As he kept watch over his father's sheep, he saw humility and he saw a servant's heart. And what I want you to remember with some of these notes is we're not going to go chapter to chapter and verse to verse as I go through tonight, but I want to set the scene and the idea that you may see some of these things in David's life as we go through our study and recognize those things. But we also need to ask ourselves if we recognize these things. Psalm 78 and verse 70. He chose David also his servant. Now, he could have said he chose David, also the son of Jesse. But he recognized and called him a servant because that's who he was and took him from the sheepfolds. Psalm 89 and verse 20. He says, I have found David, again, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. See, God is not concerned about our public image or our lack of it. Think about it for a moment. David didn't have, at this point, a public image. No social media. God knows where we're at. We don't need the rest of the world to know. We need to be more concerned about having a like from God and not by how many likes I've got from across the country and around the world, but more of what God has in store. See, the world's standard and fads, should not be ours. God wants us to be Christians of character, and he will give us all the image that we need. It's him, and it's only him. If we're concerned about only him, allow him to build us, allow him to develop us, and allow him to use us. Remember that reputation is what people see, but character is what God sees. That aspect of what you do when nobody is watching. See, man will look at the outside and see charisma, as they saw in King Saul, size of stature, an impressive track record, or the ability to speak with power and boldness or in eloquent speech. But yet God sees past all of those things and says, I will use the one that will make himself available. But God, again, will look and see character and say, I will give what is needed as it is needed. A spirit-filled life with humility is what God is looking for in each and every single one of us. Do we have that form of humility in our life? Are we willing to be used as we serve the Lord, not just in spirituality, but in humility? If we're not careful, we'll say, yeah, I'm spiritual. You know the old song, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Can't wait to get up in the morning because I get better looking each day. Now that's, that may be true in many aspects, and we like to joke and jest, but God is looking for the servant who's not concerned and looks past what they see in the mirror, but looks and says, Lord, show me what you see. Boy, isn't that hard to look in the mirror and say, Lord, help me to see what you see? Well, I know I've mentioned this before, but I had a friend named Paul on the mission field, and he's a character. He's a big fellow, he's a lineman for Akron State in football. And he would look in the morning, and I know this because we had had some overnights in the field, ministering unto others. And he would lather up his face and shave and get through, put his cologne on, and he'd look in that mirror and say, "All right, you rascal, what are you going to be up to today?" You know, an aspect of saying, "Lord, show me, let me see what you see." Another question, are we authentic in our spiritual work, or are we faking it? Are we genuine servants, or just looking to serve as somebody is watching serve? Letter A, David was authentic. He was authentic in his walk, and he had a servant's heart, as we see from Scripture. A couple things here quickly, and I'll try not to go too fast. Number one, he was humble. He was humble. And you'll see this as we study the life of David and how and the way that he responded. He did as he was told to do, keep the sheep. He did not rebel. Nowhere do we see in his life growing up where he rebelled, at least God didn't show us. He respected those in charge, in verse 4. Humility. He wasn't rebellious. He displayed respect. Number 5, he served faithfully and quietly. Well, I get so excited as I study the life of David, I want to get ahead, but I can't help but think sometimes it had to be monotonous and boring out in the desert with a bunch of sheep. Think about it. But yet, he went because that was his duty and that was his responsibility. Letter B, his attitude was one that said, "I don't care who gets the glory. I want the job to get done right. I want the job to get done right." He wanted others over him to look better. In other words, I want my boss to succeed. I want my authority to succeed. I want them to do well. I want them to look well. Number 2, he wanted others over him to be more successful. If they look good, they look better. He's helping them to look better and to be informed they are going to be successful. Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But boy, even when he was running, he sure made Saul look good. Number 3, he wanted those he served to succeed and not fail. Part of being a servant leader is making sure not only those who are above you or below you are doing well, but making sure that they are cared for and being served. In other words, a good example of a servant leader is here are these attributes that we see here. The attributes described as a servant leader is right here. Making sure that those, they be over me or under me, to make sure they're excelling, doing well, have what they need, and how can I help them to be better? When's the last time we asked somebody that we minister alongside with, work with, or even work under us, how can I help you be better? I interviewed a young man this week. And one question that I wish I'd wrote down after studying, going over some notes, after I talked to him, one question I wish I would have asked him about his last intern that he did in a church in another state was, what made you better being there? Over the last year at Harvest Baptist Church, spiritually speaking, what has made you better? Who is a part of making you better? Who came alongside of you and helped you, gentlemen, as iron sharpeneth iron? Ladies, that source of encouragement that's come alongside. We not only need to try to do what we can to do those things, but we also need to be sure that we're thanking those that play that role in our life and letting them know we appreciate what they're doing. It doesn't have to be in public. It can be in private. While David's brothers were fighting big, impressive battles, David was all alone keeping the sheep. I can't imagine all those brothers lined up, and we'll get to it later, and the prophet being there and going by each and every single one of them. It's not him until they have to call for David to come in. Why? Because he was out caring for the sheep. Sometime I've wondered, Brother Darrell, if he even knew that the prophet was there or didn't know till he got there. What did he know when he was so obedient that he stayed put because he knew, even though the prophet is there, this is my role, this is my place? Or did he just not know? The Bible doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us that he made haste and ran there. It just said he came when he was called. A true example of a servant leader. He developed a servant's heart as a spiritual young man with great humility. The first quality God saw was spirituality. Number 2, humility. Number 3, Integrity. Integrity. The third quality that God saw in David is integrity. Does God see these qualities in us? Spirituality or the desire to be more spiritual. Humility and integrity. Psalm 78 and verse 71 and 72. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Notice the word there, integrity. David was complete, wholesome, honest, sound, unimpaired, would be some synonyms or words we would use there with integrity. Integrity, once again, I've heard it defined as what you are when no one else is looking. Again, what are we when only God sees us? How often do we realize or ask ourselves when we do things we know we shouldn't to remind ourselves God sees? Have you ever heard someone use the phrase, let's make a good impression because, wish they would stop, but sometimes let's make a good impression because that's what's important. No, it's not. See, God will never see us as men and women of God if that is our philosophy. We might fake it with and in the world, but we will never fake it with God. We fool some people around us. Oh, look how God has blessed me. But that doesn't mean necessarily what you're saying. We can't fool God. God always has his focus on the inward qualities in our lives. Even though it may take time to discipline, though it may take time to cultivate, God looks at those inward qualities. And I'm so glad God knows what we have in us, though we may not realize it. He hones, he works, he uses it, and he brings it out. Remember, he is not impressed with the externals as the world is. Boy, the world, remember, we want a king. They wanted King Saul. He was a good-looking fella. He was big. He was strong, head and shoulders above all. But God saw past that and actually allowed them to have. This is where I think where that phrase might come from. Be careful what you ask for because God just might give it to you. And sometimes that's the case. See, God has a method of training his servants. Notice a couple things about David and the methods that God used to make him who God wanted him to be. First of all, loneliness. Before David could be trusted with the responsibilities of a kingdom, he needed to learn to make a decision on his own. Daddy wasn't around. Big brothers weren't around when he was watching those sheep. He was responsible to make decisions. David first learned to king it, if you can, during those days of those hot summer days, those cool nights, and maybe those beautiful star-lit nights, but also those rainy winters. Him, his coat, his staff, his sling, his harp, his flute, whatever he had with him is all that he had with those sheep. Solitude was one of David's teachers as God prepared him for the throne. There are folks sometimes it could be very lonely to be the leader. It could be very lonely to be a position of authority and great responsibility. Not only loneliness, but God developed and helped him and used him and prepared him. Let's look at also obscurity. See, David needed his character to be built through the unknown, the unseen, the unappreciated, the unapplauded. Sheep can't applaud. They can only... even when he defended them, when he protected them from wild animals. He was qualified to handle the applause of popularity as a great warrior and as a king down the road because he first learned to accept the silence of obscurity. There was no one to thank him. And I'm sure those sheep, just like pets that we have, can thank them in their own way. But it's a lot different to have the praise and applause and recognition of our peers and those around us. But yet, loneliness and obscurity began to help David to be the king that God would have him to be. Then there was monotony. David needed to learn to be faithful in the menial, insignificant, routine, unexciting daily task of a life as a shepherd boy. I've never been a shepherd. I've watched shepherds in Germany, as I mentioned before, as we went through Psalm 23. I looked and I watched and I thought to myself, boy, what kind of resume would he write for his next job? Boy, all he's do is stand out there on his feet all day long with that staff. And then when it rained and when it snowed, he had his hat and his cloak on. He had his dogs. But it was monotonous. The same thing every single day from field to field to field. But he was always alert. In the 11 years that we lived there, I never saw him sit down. The shepherd that we had in our community. Seen him stand under a tree. Standing up against a big tree when the wind was blowing hard. It was rain and snow and sleet when he was grazing sheep before bringing them in. I seen him get under trees when it was raining hard and his coat and his hat. But I never saw him sit down, take a nap, or just find shade to get away and let the dogs do the work. No, he kept his eyes on the sheep and made sure that they were cared for. See, when nobody else was around, when nobody else noticed, when nobody else even cared, that's when and how David learned to be king, without the recognition. Loneliness, obscurity, monotony, and then reality. David needed to learn to face the problems of real life on his own. I don't know how old David was when he first went out with those sheep. I know from reading some books, they start as very young. But can you imagine how he might have responded the first time a wolf or a bear charged those sheep? I don't know. But the reality is, he had to stand between the wild animal and his father's sheep. Let me say that again. It wasn't even his own sheep. It was his father's. But it was his responsibility. He wasn't just sitting around playing his harp and throwing rocks. I believe he did. I believe he took a lot of target practice. I really do. I believe he learned how to master it out there. But those weren't the only things he were doing. I don't think he was relaxing under the sun in the pastures of Judea. And I certainly don't think he was teaching those sheep to roll over and play dead. But he was using his time in some way through the loneliness, obscurity, the monotony, and the list that went on and on about being on your own, facing reality. And David took every responsibility he had to task and to heart. And nowhere does the Bible tell us. Even when his brothers, we'll get to later, in the scene of Goliath, when his brothers ridicule him about why you're here and not watching those few sheep. It was more than that. David turned away and just let it go right off of him. He learned something in obscurity. He learned who his enemy was, but he also learned who his enemy was not. Dear friends, if we want iron in our bones and the courage that we need to stand, we need to be faithful in doing the little things well. Faithful in doing the little things well. I can remember as a young boy, my dad had a large mower there. We had at least an acre, maybe more. To me, as a kid back then, it seemed like 100 acres when I had to push the mower. But it seemed a lot smaller when we were trying to play ball. But he had this large mower, and it had the big old deck. He stood behind and had a clutch or a handle on one side. When he pulled that handle, the blades engaged, and when he pulled the other one, that thing took off. And I couldn't keep up with it. I was too little. Dad used it. But I wanted to mow the lawn. I wanted to be able to do that. And Dad said, no, you're too little. We're going to have some time. So Dad, being a good dad, he found an old mower, I rebuilt it, used it, and let me push that thing. Be careful what you ask for. I pushed that little thing around. I should have kept my mouth shut. Daddy was happy mowing the lawn, but I just had to mow that acre. And it would take me 3 days to mow it as a young preteen boy. But I remember the day that Dad thought, okay, so you think you can handle the big mower? I wasn't ready. I thought I was. Dad knew I wasn't. And by the time I got ready to use it, that thing climbed the swing set. Had a big dent in one side, and Dad had to put a rod in it and weld it and pull it back up so it would work because it got away from me. Now, sometimes we think we can do more than we can. Sometimes we bite off more than we can chew. Sometimes we need just to step back and say, okay, Lord, am I ready? Am I prepared? And when we are, I think the Lord will lay those opportunities before us. But until then, no matter what our situation is, whether it's loneliness, obscurity, the monotony, or facing reality, is just waiting upon the Lord and allowing God to use you, develop you in a position that he wants you. See, the test of our calling is not how well we do before the public on Sunday. It's how careful we cover the bases Monday through Saturday when there is no one to check up on us, when nobody is looking. Big day, Sunday. Boy, Sunday is game day for the preacher. It's game day, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But you know, if there's no preparation between now and then, it's just flop day. And we need to, even as a church, realize that it's Sunday is a day that we prepare for through prayer, through study, lifting up one another up in prayer, asking God to work in our midst, and being prepared. But the biggest test that we need to remind ourselves, am I the same on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday? Or do I have to put a little extra spit and a little extra polish on my attitude, in my words, in my speech, in my actions, just because it's Sunday? Again, the test of our calling is not how well we do before the public on Sunday, how well we do for the public on whatever our job is, but we need to make sure that we're covering the bases Monday through Saturday in preparation when nobody is looking and observing what we're doing. A couple questions and we're done. Are we learning to king it? Are we allowing God to develop us and use the circumstances around us to prepare us for the next step? That king it for you and I may is not going to be king or the president of the United States. But what I'm saying is, whatever that position is, that next step that God has for you, are we learning the things that God has put before us to prepare us for that next place? And then are we people after God's own heart? How would you be described? What kind of effect do we have on people around us? What kind of memories are we building through those that we minister with, those that we minister to, and those that are observing us and ministering? Tonight, as service has started, I got a couple. I'm anxious to see it later, but I think I know what it is. I got two text messages from one of our daughters in their videos. And in the picture, I could see kids sitting in a circle. So I said, I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. So I can't wait to see the video later. But basically, they're playing a game that we played with them and with kids and youth group through the years of ministry, and getting kids to work together and teaching them to have fun together. And some people might not like to play it. I mean, I don't want to go into a lot of details, but it involves a very large chocolate bar, a knife and a fork, a hat and a scarf and gloves, and maybe, yeah, and a pair of sunglasses. Now, I'm telling you, we had so much fun with the teens and youth and kids playing a game. And after all, seeing some kids that did not always willingly work together, all of a sudden was trying to help each other, becoming team builders and wanting to see a task and a job done. And that's what it is for us here at Harvest. We have a task and a job before us, and it takes all of us working together, going in the same direction. And we individually, there's still things I need to learn. I hope that I'm not everything God wants me to be, because that means it's over for me. I want to grow. I want to continue. I want to learn more. I want to know more of God. I want to learn something else about him, even about myself. These qualities that God saw in David as a servant leader were spirituality, humility, and integrity. And if we are practicing spirituality and have a hunger to learn, that will flourish and grow. If we are truly, truly practicing humility and a person of humility, God will allow us also to be used in a great way in reaching others, because we're not concerned who gets the credit. And then when we have the integrity that God wants us to have, even when nobody is looking, we do what's honoring to God. Those are the kind of servant leader God wants to use to make an impact and make a difference in the life of others. Brother Dave mentioned the young man, Walter, who came in last week, and he watched and observed some people around him that loved on him, encouraged him, greeted him. Others will be that. Maybe that's something he enjoyed so much. Maybe it might be something in his life that might be missing that he's really enjoyed that may draw him back. And as we see him to come back and we see others come in, as they're seeing that love and that spirituality, and they're seeing the humility among our congregation of just encouraging one another, not caring who gets the credit, and speaking truth and words of encouragement and practicing integrity, those are the things families want their families to learn. And that will make a difference. Servant leaders are few and far between, but it's exactly what God wants and exactly what God uses to make a difference. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we do thank you for your goodness and your blessing upon us, the joy of fellowship, the joy of service. Father, now I pray that you would bless now as we transition in time to our financial report, Lord, for the year ending in 2023. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the privilege, that, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us and the things that you've given us and things that have been given through us, to us, and for the ministry here, Father. You've been so good to us. Father, help us to continue to be the stewards you'd have us to be, that you might continue to entrust us with things as we move forward in the coming years, how you will use us and allow us in reaching others for the cause of Christ. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.